Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
But Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Now he's going to compare the analogy to God himself, verse 17. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation or encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Now look at how he ends this section, verse 19 and 20. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You know, I've been real blessed. My grandparents, my mom's dad, actually was a preacher here from 1960 to 63, something like that. And he was a very godly man. And then on my dad's side, my granddaddy was a very godly man. He's the one that started Rudd Plumbing in Tyler in 1920. He bought it off of a German man by the name, he worked for him, by the name of Ken's father. That was his last name. And so he continued that, and it's a very godly family. And so I'm very blessed. And then my dad was a very godly man. My mom is a very godly woman. And so those things, even though I was the black sheep of the family, I mean, some of that stuff stuck. And I knew in my heart when I was a kid and when I was in high school and afterwards, when I was running from God, I knew in my heart what was right. But I was running from God, and I was trying to medicate my life with alcohol and was in depressions and all kinds of different things because of it. But God, you can't outrun God. And when you have a godly family, and you may have kids that are going in the wrong direction, you may say, you know, today is tough on me. It's Father's Day, but it's hard on me. If you only knew what my daughter or what my son is doing right now and what they're going through, and it's a real tough day for me. The father and the mother set a pattern for the children. And so I'm thankful for what I had learned as a kid and the values that I had seen and the truths that I had heard, because they made a difference in my life, even at that time, but especially after I came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And so I heard a story about a young man that went to Navy school, and he wanted to know what it was like to be in the Navy, so he went to school, and so the captain of the Navy, he was also an instructor, and he wanted to teach this kid some things, so he thought that he would bring him up to a time of testing. And so the elder sea captain went to him, and he said, "What would you do if a storm sprang up on the starboard?" Well, the student said, "I'd throw out an anchor, sir." Well, the captain said, "What would you do if another storm popped up?" He said, "Well, I'd throw out another anchor, sir." He said, "Okay. What if another really, really violent storm comes? What would you do?" asked the captain. He said, "Well, sir, I'd throw out another anchor." Finally, the captain stopped and he says, "Now, hold on just a minute. Where are you getting all these anchors from?" Student looked up and said, "Sir, from the same place you're getting all your storms." Now, the Bible just told us in verses 19 and 20 that we have a hope as an anchor, and it has been cast up. We typically cast anchors down. This anchor has been cast up. Now let me tell you what that hope is. That hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are tethered to the anchor of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus himself, listen to this, he is the anchor. He is the anchor. Without Jesus, there is no hope. And Jesus has ascended on high, and the anchor, Jesus Christ, is at the right hand of the Father right now, this minute, and he has tethered his line of grace, his line of faith, his line of mercy, his line of advocacy. He has tethered that line to mine and your heart, and he wants us to connect to him through that line that he calls in his word. In Hebrews 4:16, he calls it grace. And he says, if you'll tether your life to me as your anchor, I'll stand behind the presence of the veil so that I can continually to forgive you. I can continually to advocate in your behalf. I can continue to answer your prayers. I can continue to pour out my grace in your life. I can continue to pour out my mercy. And so when the life storms hit and things get rough, and they get rough, I mean, our society today, would you agree it's kind of rough out there? And he's saying, if you'll tether to me, you don't have to worry. And so it reminds me of that song. In fact, Kevin and Teresa and Brian and Paul Erb have sung it. It's the one that says, all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone and all my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. Isn't that good? That's what we have in Jesus Christ. Now, let's go ahead and get right into our outline. And so I'm going to do something a little bit different. And so, Steve, you don't have to do this yet. You can just stay one by one as we go. But I'm going to give you all the answers on your outline right now, because I want you to see how this connects together in our text. Here it is. Abraham testifies that God is, number one, a faithful anchor. He's a faithful anchor. Number two, a purposeful anchor. You have purpose in Jesus. He doesn't just save you and say, well, good for you, I'm gone. He saves you and he says, I've got a purpose in your life for saving you. And then number three, he is a truthful anchor. We live in a world today that where everybody in the world is trying to define what's truth. Well, let me tell you what's truth. It's not what the woke crowd would like to tell us. It's not what the culture would like to tell us. It's not what the movies would like to tell us or the internet would like to tell us. What is truth will forever and always be determined by this book. Forever and always. I don't care what the culture says. They can call us hate mongers. They can call us anything they want to. My life is not ordained by what the whims of the culture is. My life is ordained by what the whims of the word is. And so we need truth in our life, and that's a problem in our society today, as we have departed from truth. And then the fourth one is we have a merciful anchor. We have a forerunner that has entered for us, Jesus. You know, I like that word forerunner, by the way, because you know what a forerunner is? It's a forerunner. It's the one that goes before you. Jesus wouldn't be called a forerunner if there wasn't some people coming after him. And so it gives us a promise that he forerun into heaven so that we can follow as Christians when we die or he comes back. It's a great picture of what God has done for us. Now, let's quickly diagnose these and kind of unpack them. Look at verses 13. Now, verse 13 is, in fact, this text outlines real easily. Verse 13 is all about faithfulness. The faithfulness, by the way, of God. His faithfulness. Okay? When you get to verse 14 and 15 and 16, that's about his being a purposeful God. God has a purpose for his children. And he unpacks it in your life. And then when you get to verses 17 and 18, we have the truthfulness of God. And then when you get to verses 19 and 20, we have he is a merciful God. So these are four attributes of God that Abraham called in the Bible the first father, that Abraham passed down to his son Isaac. His son Isaac passed that down to Jacob. Jacob passed that down to his children, and so on and so forth. And so what we see in Abraham, the Bible in Romans chapter 4 calls him the father of us all. You say, how can that be? I thought Adam was the father of us all. Well, genealogically, he is. But when it comes to the covenants, and when it comes to believing in Jesus and justified by faith, Abraham is the father of us all. Abraham was justified, listen to this, he was justified by what? The works of the law or by faith? By faith. Even before the law came. Now, you got to remember, Abram receives his covenants in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. Then you hear him from there. He's 75 years old in Genesis chapter 12. Now, I want you to think about it. You may be a father in here today. By the way, his name was Abram back then, but God changes it to Abraham later. And so here is Abram, a 75-year-old man, had a father named Terah that was a godly man, and Abraham had heard from God, and God, after Abraham's dad died, he said, Abram, I need you to get out of here. I need you to go to a different land that I'm going to show you. By the way, in Genesis chapter 12, there's five I wills. He tells him, I'm going to show you a land. I'm going to show you. I need to read it because I'm going to get it all messed up. But I want you to see these five I wills because it's important. And it's when you get to Genesis chapter 15 that you see the actual Abrahamic covenant. Now, you say, how does that apply to me as a father? Well, it does, and we'll see that in just a second. Listen to what he says. He says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. Now, here's some faith right here. He says, go to a land that I will show you. He just took off. He didn't even know where he was going. God didn't say, I want you to, here's a map, you go to so-and-so. You just go. Then he says, the second I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. By the way, his name has been made great. Who are we talking about this morning? Abraham. God made his name great. He says, and you shall be a blessing. If you've believed in Jesus Christ today, then you have been a part of the blessing that God gave to Abraham. Because God said, Abraham, because you believed by faith, there's going to be people from every nation of the world. All the families of the earth will be blessed in you. You know why? Because God made it to where the promise could go to everyone, not just to the Jew, not just to this nation or that nation. He's saying the promise of salvation is going to go to everybody, and it's going to work just like the way you believed. So as a father, we need to teach our kids what it means to believe in Jesus by faith. We teach them the works of the law, and we teach them also how to be saved by grace. We teach them that it's good to live a moral life. We teach our kids that it's good to stick to the Bible to discover your truths. I want to say to our young people today, don't discover your truths on TikTok. Took me forever to figure out what that meant. Don't discover your truths from Hollywood's movies. Don't discover your truths from what the latest in thing is at school or the latest trend is. Don't discover your truths because the government or because some culture or some guru somewhere says, this is the way you're to walk and you need to walk in it. You say, no, I've got a scripture that tells me the way to walk and I'm going to walk in it. Because if you discover your truths from man, generated by man, what you're going to discover is that you're going to find yourself in a mess when it comes to your inward person and when it comes to your life. But if you'll discover your truths from the Word of God and live them in a spirit of love, live them in a spirit of grace, what will happen is you will discover that Jesus Christ is the author of those truths. And you will find that when you discover Him and believe in Jesus, that you will be in heaven for all of eternity to get to see that He truly is what He said He is. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so I want to say to our young people that are in here today, good for you. You could be anywhere else, but you're here today. And so learn these truths. Coming to church isn't because it's the religion that you come to church. Well, I just go to church because that's the religion that my family has. No, you come to church not because it's a religion. You come to church because it is a relationship to a personal God that loves you and died for you. And He wants to change your heart. He wants to minister to you. He wants to change your thinking. He wants to change your mind. And fathers, that's our goal. Now you may say, you know, I've got a father, but today's not a real happy day for me. My father's just not there for me. Or my father's not a Christian. Or maybe your father has passed away and you have a hole in your heart. Let me give you five quick things to encourage you today. Number one, God loves you and hears your brokenness. And you can write down Psalms 34:18. God loves you and he hears your brokenness. Number two, God has placed all our pain, our sin, our hurt, and suffering on Christ for us. And you can write down Romans 8:1. Number three, we as believers have been adopted in Christ. Biggest adoption agency there is in the whole wide world exists with the Lord Jesus. Everybody in here that's born again has been adopted into the family of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, we have Christ that we cry out, Abba, Father. Listen to this. He will never abandon us, not even for a minute. And we cry out, Abba, Father, 2 Timothy 2:13. And then we have Christ, Abba, Father. Now watch this. He invites us. And Sean just shared where a young lady this week had accepted Christ this week at camp. He invites us into a personal relationship. And you can write down Romans 10, 9 through 10. Now, quickly, let's unfold these. He is a faithful anchor. Steve, do we have a verse on the screen? This is Romans 4:16. Now, I want to share with you that Romans is the commentary for Hebrews 6:13 through 20. Best commentary you can find on Hebrews 6:13 through 20 is right here in all of Romans chapter 4. He says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure. That word means certain. You can take it to the bank. To all the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It's a great verse. Because what he's telling us is this. He's saying all the families in the earth will be blessed. Remember that scripture we just read right here in verse 14? Surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. That's called a Hebraism. That's what that's called. It means it's a repetitive, it's almost redundant the way it's worded. And it's done that way on purpose. God wanted to repeat himself right there. Why? Because what he was trying to say to Abraham, he's saying, Abraham, every family, not just the seed, not just Israel, but every family, every person on planet Earth will be able to be blessed because of you. Why? Because Abraham showed us what believing in Jesus looks like. When you get to Genesis chapter 15, Abraham can say, God is faithful. He is faithful. You get there and God reappears to him. He was 75 in Genesis 12. We get over here to Genesis 15, God appears to him later. And he says, Abraham, you're going to have a child. Because Abraham asked him, said, God, how am I going to have all these descendants? How's that going to happen? I don't even have a child. Well, I have this other child over here. He's saying, no, it's going to be a child from your body. You know how old Abraham was when he had Isaac? That's right. He was 100 years old. That's a lot of birthday candles he had to blow out. 100 years old. How old was Sarah when Isaac was born? 90. He says, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. Now, it's real important because I want you to see this next thing. Because in the faithfulness of God, he is faithful to do three things for us that he'll also do for our children if we'll model it for our children. He is faithful to change us. Number two, he is faithful to give us value. And then number three, he is faithful to protect us. I love what Alexander Gross said one time. He said, there is more safety with Christ in the tempest than without Christ in the calmest of waters. Very true. God does not love us because we are valuable. We are valuable because God loves us. We've heard that many times. That was original with Fulton Sheen, by the way. But he's a purposeful anchor. Steve, pull that verse up on the screen. This is Romans 4:20 through 22. Now watch this. I want to ask you today, how's your faith? We're out here building a building. Worst economy I've seen. I'm 56 years old. It's the worst I've seen. We're doing all these things. But you know what? I was talking to a guy this week. He sings. He goes to different churches all over. Just an amazing singer. Does a lot of concerts. Goes out of the states, sometimes out of the country. And And he was asking about the church and how things were going, and I told him that we were building and this, that, and the other. And he says, y'all are building? And I said, yeah, we are. He said, well, churches are dying. He said, the majority of the churches that I'm going to, they're dying. They're not growing. They're dying. I said, we're not dying. We're growing. And I believe that God doesn't walk to the same drumbeat as the world. God is faithful. Titus 2 Timothy 2:13, God is faithful. He cannot deny himself. If we're faithless, he's still faithful. He can't deny himself. So we have the faithfulness of God and we have his purposes. What was God's purposes for Abraham? What's God's purposes for you? For Abraham, he says, I'm going to use you. You're going to be the father of a nation. You're going to be the father of all these descendants. You're going to be the father of all these people that put their faith in Jesus Christ because you're going to model it. He's saying, Abraham, I got a purpose for your life. And he looks at you and me today, and he says, fathers, he says, mothers, he says, individuals, I have a purpose for your life. I am a faithful God. I am a purposeful God. And every day of your life has been written into a book that is my book. And I fashioned it before you were ever born, Psalms 139:16. And I'm going to unfold that because I have created you for good works, Ephesians 2:10, before the foundation of the world. And there is a purpose for your life. So if you're living in this generation, and you're living in this state, and you're in this community, and you're in this church, God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for that build. God has a purpose for our faith. God has a purpose for all this. Why? Because he wants to get the truth of the Word of God into the heart of the lost soul. That's what his purpose is. His purpose for you and I is, and Kenny did a great job unpacking that the other day. His purpose for you and I is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody that we come in contact with and to find some creative way to make that happen. He doesn't want us to hoard his blessing. He didn't want Abraham to hoard the blessing. He said, Abraham, it's going to be in your descendants and in their seed. And Abraham continued to pass it. And we saw it revealed again in Isaac. We saw it revealed again in Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God and wrestled with the angel. Remember, the angel touched his hip and knocked it out of place. And why did he do that? He says, I ain't letting go of you until you bless me. That needs to be the zeal of our heart today. God, I ain't letting go of you until you bless me. I'm hanging on to you. Let me tell you, the world is going to tempt you to run from God. The world is going to tempt you to say your faith has no value in the culture we're in the society that we're in. It's too late. The world's coming to an end tomorrow, and we might as well just sit down and do nothing. Let me tell you, that is a lie from the devil. Let me tell you, this is when we stand up the strongest. This is when the righteous are as bold as a lion. This is when we stick to the Word of God. This is the kind of times when it's dark that we are the light of the world. This is the best time we could be building a new church. I pray that when people drive by, they say, man, that church has faith. What are they, crazy? Yeah, we are. That's exactly what we are. And then the last two is this. Did we read the verse? All right, let's read it. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. You know what that means? It means that he refused to entertain. This is what I read in the Greek. It means that he refused to entertain the temptation of unbelief. Think about that. He didn't waver. Now, you say, well, he got spoke to directly by God. Did you know how long it was from the time that God, when he was 75 years old and he had the Genesis 15 experience, do you know how long it was before he had Isaac? 25 years. 25 years of silence. He was getting older every day, wondering, God, now I know what you told me, but I just had another birthday, and have you looked at Sarah lately? She's getting old, too. I'm sorry, Sarah, it didn't have nothing to... It's okay. She's getting old, too. Not this, Sarah. I'm getting back to my sermon now. And says, but was strengthened in faith. He strengthened himself during that 25 years in his faith. How? By giving glory to God, saying, God, you're able to do it. And being fully, not a little bit, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's where his salvation took place, right there. That was the time in Genesis 15 where the Abrahamic covenant was made. And so he got saved, apart from the works of the law, he got saved by believing God from his heart and receiving that into his life. Then the third one, he is a truthful anchor. And I'll be quick right here and real quick on the last one. He is a truthful anchor. And I think that you all understand this. I think you all understand that it is impossible for God to lie. Look at verse 17. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Have y'all ever had a kid come up to you and say, "Pinky promise, pinky promise"? Madeline and Caitlin used to do that when they were kids. "Just one more time, Daddy. Pinky promise it'll just be the last time." David had that happen with Madeline one time when he was having to be the tractor and, you know, pick her up like a set of hay forks and throw her. And he was like, "You got to go to sleep. You know, you got to quit doing this." And Madeline said, "Pinky promise. Well, just this last time, pinky promise." God did a pinky promise here. God didn't have to, but he wanted to do it. He says, thus God, determining to show more abundantly the heirs of promise, the immutability, that means it can't change, of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two unchangeable or immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. Now, what are those two things that he's talking about in verse 18? One of them is the word. It's his promise. When God makes a promise, I don't care what promise you read in the Bible, you can take it to the bank. You can absolutely take it to the bank. Any of Jesus' words, anything in the Bible that he gives us as a promise. So one of them was his promise. The second one was the fact that through those promises, his son Jesus would be revealed. And then that second part of the covenant is the very life of Jesus in a physical body here on earth, dying on a cross for our sins, and literally taking all the seed and becoming the forerunner into heaven. What Jesus has done is Jesus has become the high priest, not after the order of Levi, which is the law. He became the high priest after the order of faith, which was Melchizedek. That's what the Bible's going to talk about in chapter 7. So he is a God who speaks truth. He cannot lie. You can trust the Bible when he says what he says. Ronald Reagan says this: all great change in America begins at the dinner table. In other words, Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says we're to talk about them to our children. Talk of them when you're sitting at the table, when you're walking by the way. We are to tell our kids about the principles of God wherever we are. We had, Teresa and I had two or three prayers this morning, one in the living room, two on the way to church. And I pray out loud. Why? Because I want Madeline. I don't know where Madeline's at. She's somewhere in this church, probably in the Skype room. Oh, there she is. Hi, Madeline. Got all the family back there. And so, Madeline, I want her to hear our prayers. Let your kids hear your faith. Tell your kids when God answers a prayer. Don't just share it with your spouse. Tell your kids, let me tell you what God has done, so that your kids understand how it works. Number four, he is a merciful anchor. And we have a scripture for that, and we're almost done. Romans chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Still about Abraham. Now, it was not written, watch this. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, it's Abraham, that it was imputed to him, but also for us, that's you, that's me. It shall be imputed to us, that's salvation, who believe in him, that H is Jesus, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Do you believe that God sent Jesus and that salvation is through him alone? He's saying it can be imputed to you, the same blessing. And so the question we have to ask us today is this: are we allowing God to so fill our lives that our kids and everybody around us know where our faith is anchored?
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.